Hey, everybody, it's Clayton. Before we get started, just one quick note. So the episode you're about to hear, as you've probably noticed, is the first in a two-part episode. Now, when we recorded this episode at our live show, the New Year's Eve, we didn't plan on it being long enough to be two episodes. It was just going to be one normal episode. But then by the end of it, this thing went so off the rails and was absolutely unhinged. And it was a really long recording. And so by the end of it, we realized this is actually a two-parter. I say all that because there's no like clean cut in the middle of this episode. It doesn't like go smoothly from part one to part two. What you're going to hear is Jeremy's best guess at where it should cut off. And it's not going to be an easy transition. So you'll hear, I don't know, about half of the story today. Then it will be over for now. And then next week we will launch we'll release the second half of this episode, and you'll hear the rest of the, again, just absolute insanity that happened. And that's the magic of the live show. You never know what's going to happen or just how completely absurd it's going to be. So that's all. Enjoy the episodes, and don't forget to listen next week for the conclusion of the Drake Hotel. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously. But we have a real special episode today. So as we are recording, it is New Year's Eve Eve, and I think that's right. That's a thing. Right?
I think it is. we're deep in like the gray milieu of Christmas to New Year's, so you could have told me it was like the 27th, and I totally would have bought it.
For those of us with young children, it's hard. This is a hard time of year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Spare a thought for us.
You're on like the seventh round of a knockout fight right now. Everything's spinning. You're like, just when do I get out of this?
when are the kids back all 5 days in school? Because please God. So we are doing something special today. So we've invited all our Ghost Plus subscribers to join us in this recording. So we've got a handful of folks over who are just watching. They're not allowed to interrupt because I get way too easily distracted. I am already regretting the fact that I didn't put my normal like post-it over the chat number, because that's gonna hurt. But they are there, and they are gonna be speaking with each other in the chat. And producer Ryan is here because it's a special occasion. Ryan, you wanna say hi?
I would love to say hi. Hello. It's great to be here. Thanks for.
Is it your face? Your words say one thing, but your face says something else.
Thank you for the invite.
You're welcome. Thank you for. Thank you for showing up.
Does that room get darker every time we do this, Ryan? I'm just curious.
I like to hide, and I'm wearing my ghost whatever this is hoodie, and you know, it's getting scary over here. I'm getting back into spooky season.
Love it.
All the way back around, and then. And then we, what, Megan? I'm coming around to you.
No, I just have a question, but I can.
Yeah, okay, yeah, interrupt everything to ask a question from, let's have the one person who no one knows whose voice this is ask a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, we try to be snappier on these things, you know?
Yeah, we don't, we get right to the story, and that's kind of our trademark. But go ahead, sure. Everyone, this is Megan. Megan, what do you want?
I actually had two questions. You don't have to answer them
now. Oh, good,
now.
Two?
The first is, have any of you ever dressed up as a ghost for Halloween with, like, a sheet?
Okay, I thought you were right off.
Okay, yeah, you don't
No,
have to
Ryan has dressed up as something with a sheet for a different purpose, but not for Halloween, yeah, not as a ghost.
Yeah, we can handle two questions at a time. I've got a pencil. I can, no, I don't. I can write it down. I can write it down. Ghost? No.
No.
And then a follow-up question, what is Bellagio?
What is the what?
What's Bellagio?
Bellagio.
So there goes 20 minutes.
all right. Pat, this is, I'll take a nap.
Bellagio is a mystical experience brought to you by developer something something. I don't remember his name. It's poker, but with a twist. There's nobody else at the table, so you don't have to like talk to anybody or see anybody or interact with anybody. You're playing poker against yourself.
And it's like a poker RPG.
Yes, exactly.
And it sounds insane.
Mm-hmm.
A little, it's real.
Yeah. Sounds a little bad.
Yeah. It's good. When you explain it to people, yeah, it's not a good game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth $10, and if you buy it, then you'll further appreciate Patrick and my side podcast, The Blotro Boys. It's our podcast's podcast, and it's really good. Can I finish the intro?
Yeah.
Or are you okay?
Thank you.
This is what happens when this happens. This is when we get bad comments on Spotify.
Exactly.
Ryan, you popped up. You have something to say?
No, I just the story was done, so I decided to come back.
Okay, so this is going, I would say, 10 out of 10 so far. So Ryan is here, as we said, and he's going to be moderating the chat with our Ghost Plus subscribers. So Ryan, please, if anything pops up there that you think needs to be brought forward, a pertinent question, or really anything that you want to try to derail the podcast with, please feel free to do that. But Ryan is the only one who can do that from the chat. And so that's part of our special. And then you're not going to believe this. We have a special guest with us today. Surprise. We have a special guest host. Megan Phillips is first and foremost Canadian, but we let her come anyway. She's a writer. She is an actor. She is an all-around creator. She's a musician. She's a comedian. She's does all sorts of really, really fun, interesting work. And for some reason, she agreed to come and join us for this special episode of Is This a Ghost? Megan, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God, thank you. I actually came specifically to have the answer to what is Bellatro given to me. So I just feel like my dreams came true tonight.
Oh, so you're done then?
Yeah.
Are you leaving?
Yeah. So that's...
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Would have given you a shorter intro if I'd known that. So I like that the one episode of the podcast you listened to before agreeing to come on was the one where we talked about Bellatro, and that's where all your questions come from.
Fair.
All right. And before we get started, because we're deep in it already, so there's no time for banter today. No banter today. Megan, do I understand correctly? You've come with a game for us.
I have.
And do you want to explain it now?
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. So I spent many years, like about 10, working on a trolley around Vancouver telling ghost stories around Vancouver over the month of October, and got very good at it because if you were bad at it, you wouldn't get tipped. So I learned a lot about ghost stories in Vancouver.
You are way overqualified for this podcast.
Well, and so when we were wondering what kind of bit we could have when we were jamming ideas, I threw around some of the ghost stories in Vancouver just to see what landed with Clayton. And then we touched upon the one at the Old Spaghetti Factory here in Vancouver. And then Clayton offhand said, you wouldn't believe how many ghosts are in the Old Spaghetti Factory. And we went down a rabbit hole.
So I do this a lot of ghost research. There are so many Old Spaghetti Factories in the world, and almost every one of them is haunted.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about Old Spaghetti Factory,
the restaurant,
like the global chain.
Yes.
Of like acceptable Italian food. That's the
correct
one.
Correct. Technically, okay. There's two global
old
chains.
Italian food.
Yeah, it's Italian American. Technically, there's two. It is under the Old Spaghetti Factory umbrella, started in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. However, there's
about the Old Spaghetti Factory.
I learned so much yesterday, Clayton Smith. that Canada has its own technical corporation.
Okay.
Under the umbrella, their branding is mildly different.
Okay. Is this how the haunted tour started, by the way? Because this isn't really grabbing me.
No, not at all.
No tip. No tip so far.
Yeah, no tip so far. But what it did lead to was what I have for you today is all of the ghosts. I have a bunch of ghosts that live in Old Spaghetti Factories in Canada. And so I'm going to tell you what the ghosts are, and then you have to guess what city in Canada they haunt.
Oh, I love it. Okay, episode.
And I will say, I don't know the answer to these questions. I did help. We helped brainstorm this, but I don't know the answers. And what I'm going to do is I found this list of all the places in Canada where there are old spaghetti factories, and I'll put them in the chat for everyone.
Okay.
Did I just do that right?
Yeah.
See? Are they all naturally haunted, or do you have to like cross-reference ones that are also haunted?
Based on my research, I would say they're all haunted.
Well,
what an odd shtick. This is not what I would have expected. Okay.
But what is so great about it is like a lot of the times what I've read is the ghosts come with the tram. Like the ghosts, like when they...
Can you explain that for anyone who's not been to an old spaghetti factory?
Right.
The tram.
Yeah. So at Old Spaghetti Factory, the classic Italian American casual dining food chain.
Mm-hmm. Experience, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Is built on this shtick, this gimmick, I guess, where
it's built on this graveyard of, yeah, of Native American bones.
Fancy that. This where they take trams from trolleys and then they make them into dining cars. So oftentimes they'll take like a tram or a trolley from that city and they'll move it in, and those tend to carry a lot of ghosts with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But then they're also in like old historic buildings too, and so those usually have some, you know, mad spirits.
So, how is this game going to work, Megan?
So, we'll see. But what
No, not how well will it work.
Oh, okay. That one I can answer much better. I'm going to tell you, like, the type of ghost that it is, and then you just need to guess the location.
Do Patrick and I get to work as a team, or is this like a...
No, one-on-one, mano a mano here. Gotta be. Gotta be. Because what I love about this is it is also an acute Canadian geography test. How many Canadian cities can you name...
Well, I have so many maps pulled up right now.
Here's a question for you.
Not true. Absolutely not.
How many provinces do we have?
I can name all five.
I can tell you how many have old spaghetti factories. It's five. It's five at least. Okay, and then we also decided that this game would not be something we did right off the bat, but like there's a new rule because you're such a special guest. That you get to play host whenever you want. And so I will be telling the normal, is this a ghost story? But whenever you feel compelled, you will say, stop. And you will stop me. And then you will do another question. And we'll just scatter these throughout the episode. And yes, go ahead.
Instead of saying stop, can I put up my hand?
Oh, yeah. Do whatever you want. I'm not looking at you, though. I'm looking at my notes. Great. So you may have to make a noise.
Great.
But, is there a name? Did you decide on the name for this?
Oh, no, but, you had a great one.
You want the one I said?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go with what you had.
This game is called Old Spaghosti Factory. And every time we play Old Spaghosti Factory, we have a special sound effect tonight. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
This is how you'll know that we're transitioning from Is This a Ghost to Old Spaghetti Factory.
Pizza.
All right.
Okay. Okay. You might need to bring up the pizza a little bit. I only got a hint.
Okay. Thank you for the note, Jeremy. If you're listening, can you just bring up the pizza every single time we do this? And I don't know how many questions Meg has.
Because I don't know where the dial is to make it.
I am not the one to do this. Okay, so that's the rules. Good, Meg. Good.
Oh yeah, the goodest.
I'm shocked at how good the name is. I wasn't expecting that kind of gold.
It's all Clayton. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then we are just about ready. The last thing is just to let everyone know that we are sponsored this week by Smart Labels.
No.
I know they keep coming back. I am as surprised as anyone, but here we are. And yes, Megan.
Can I just say, when you talk about Smart Labels, it's made me want to buy them. So, like, I'm not a neat freak about anything, and yet this, like, it just calmed the left brain side of me just knowing it exists. So, like, I just think it's so cool.
This is great stuff. Keep going.
Try not to cuss. He gives us notes if we cuss.
Sometimes we get notes if we cuss. Not all the time, but you never know which ones are the words that they're going to set them off. How many have you bought?
Uh, Oh, none. But I'm broke.
Okay, so yes. shut up. Cut her mic. Cut Megan's mic. So Smiley, listen, everyone. As we're
12, I bought tonight. 12.
Great. Wow, that's almost enough. As we're recording this, obviously it's New Year's Eve, but as you're listening to this, as a listener flies, we're getting deep into January. It's mm-hmm. like we're at least a full weekend. Your resolution is done. You've messed it up. You're mm-hmm. not doing it. You failed. You failed this year. You failed mm-hmm. 2025. You have to start over.
Exactly.
And what you're going to do, I think, is organize. Patrick, you recently organized your basement. That I've seen several blankets that were not previously folded. Can you just talk a little bit about how nice it was to get organized?
I appreciate you mentioning that. So I decided to pick up around here. You'll put some smart labels on some things, like that blanket. It's got a pink label on the back side of it in case I ever lose it. Or, you know, like I wake up in the middle of the night and I don't know where my blanket is. Then I just have to get my phone, obviously, and punch it in and, you know, see where I've left it. But yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with how things have turned out down here. If you couldn't tell, it's been a long week of having a crippling head cold and three screaming children. So the basement has been my repose, and smart labels have helped me tolerate it down here. So,
and I've learned that your couch is green. It is amazing.
Oh, it is. You're right.
So smart labels are color-coded QR code labels. You stick them on your boxes, your bags, your bins, anything you want to store away for whatever reason. You scan them in the app and you say, this box is full of my safety blankets. My name is Patrick and I need my cool blankie for to sleep. And where do I find it? You put it in the box, you scan the QR code on the box, and you take a picture of what's in the box, so you know which cool blankets are in there. And then whenever you put the box in your attic or your basement, you can take a picture of the spot in the basement where it is. You can write yourself a note about where to find it.
You can make a really cryptic note if you want. That's a fun way to do it. You want to make it a little bit of a quest.
Especially if you've got a spouse who likes your blanket, and you're like, it's actually my blanket.
Mm-hmm. It's actually my blanket, Amy. My social security number divided by 4, number of steps to the left. Interesting. Mm. I wonder which way it could be.
And you can do it however you want. So when you... smart labels will help you organize your life. We have some, Patrick has some, Meg desperately needs some, and they're really, really great. So, go to Amazon right now, search smart labels. You'll find them. They are color coded in the best colors. You can choose some really cool colors, buy them. They're super cheap. If you have Prime, they'll be there in 2 days. They will reorganize your life for you. It's so easy and you need it. Please go buy them. Patrick, do you have something else? You're wiggling your pencil like you.
I don't. This is just emphasis, just purely emphasis. Great. Just really.
Okay, so we'll cut the ad right before you did that.
Absolutely, please do.
Nailed it. All right, Ryan. Anything from the chat that we need to address before we dive into the ghost story?
I mean, I got to tell you, people are very excited about smart labels. We've got some folks in here who have actually purchased some. Apparently, they come in neon colors, which I didn't realize until just now. So very excited.
The neonist. Mm.
Jeremy, cut that into the ad, would you? That would help us a lot. All right. Well, thank you all for those of you who have bought smart labels. Thank you, genuinely. They are our only sponsor, and it's nice that we can send them some business because they are great. All right, then I think it is officially time to get ready for the actual purpose of this podcast, Patrick. And Meg, are you ready to hear a ghost story?
Yes.
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 It's usually a verbal Absolutely. Thing from Patrick. Okay, great. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Dong.
John Burroughs Drake was born on January 17th, 1826 in Lebanon, Ohio. His father was a harness maker from Trenton, New Jersey.
I'm sorry. I gotta stop you there. I'm gonna Go guess. Ahead. I'm gonna say horse harnesses, but I don't want to. I don't want to assume.
It is New Jersey.
Yeah.
So the answer is actually sex harnesses.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Man, that came a lot sooner than I thought it would. Historically.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize there was that kind of free time back then, quite frankly.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a story about a rich person, and you don't get rich without having a little bit of foresight.
I'm still stuck on Lebanon, Ohio. That took a turn.
You thought it was going to be Lebanon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
More of a pause there. Lebanon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll find that most of the ghosts on this show come from the Rust Belt or the Deep South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I feel like that's where most of the angry people were killed unjustly.
Yeah, that's where you're driving a real stake into the ground as far as your spirit goes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think. Lebanon is I guess you'd call it a suburb of Cincinnati, but I looked at some photos and I would say exurb is probably its own thing.
It's its own thing.
I think its own thing.
Lebanon, or as I would imagine, probably Lebanon. Gonna say that.
Yeah,
it's probably Lebanon. Yeah, I think they'd be a little offended if you told them they're a suburb of Cincinnati. They'd say we are our own thing.
We have our own cool baseball team. Mm-hmm. It's Lenny and Jake. And fuck the Reds. Let's see. So his father's a harness maker. I assume horses. I didn't check. Thank you, Patrick, for calling that out. I'll be more thorough next time.
I'll look it up later.
Thank you. So his father was a harness maker, and his mother was a Nancy. That's all I know about.
That's a role, or that's a name?
Could be both.
Was she Nancy in the 2009 musical Groundhog Day by Tim Minchin?
Was she?
Yes.
Ah.
Oh, wow. Right on the head.
That's a coincidence.
Where have you been this whole time, Megan?
I really want Meg to feel involved.
I'm just stuck on Lebanon, Kansas. Stop it. Stop it, chat. I need to pay attention to the story.
No, you can't have chat up.
It's
a fool's errand.
Okay,
keeping track
close
of chat
it.
And
chat. I did make a comment earlier about how maybe it was before you all were in here. Meg and I have the same brain, and I mean that as much as I possibly can. So in the way that I would be distracted, please don't distract her. You'll know I have moved my Zoom window down so that it's off frame, so I can only see the top half of Meg's head, but it's worth it. I cannot see the chat. Okay, so we have so many notes to go. So Nancy is from Pennsylvania. Now, John's father dies when he's 11 years old.
I would imagine some sort of horrible harness accident. It's got to be, right?
Sex harness.
There's a David Carradine of Lebanon, Ohio. We call
Wait,
that.
I'm sorry, but you never answered the Nancy question. What is a Nancy? Is that a term? Is that a euphemism?
Her name was Nancy.
Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Her name was Nancy.
Oh.
Hmm.
Okay.
Do you have any further questions about Nancy? There was no occupation for her because she didn't have one, I assume.
Does she play Bellatro?
She did. She actually invented Bellatro. Took a while to catch on.
We're learning so much.
That's what you get from this podcast. It's more educational than the American educational system. So his dad dies when John is 11 years old, which
causes...
Horrible
harness accident. Right.
Horrible. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We got this.
Yeah. Don't want to forget that. Thank you.
I kind of love you, Patrick, so much.
I don't want him to forget.
Yeah. No, I wrote a note.
Never forget. Yeah.
Never forget. Never forget harness accident.
Mm-hmm.
David Carradine.
Horrible harness accident.
Horrible harness. Sorry. Thank you. Horrible. Yeah.
Daughter of Nancy. Accident. I mean, son of Nancy.
Husband of Nancy.
Oh. See, you had me at Lebanon.
I'm going to keep going because people get so angry when this happens.
Every time somebody asks Clayton, why do you only have one host? He's like, if you only fucking knew.
We have so many notes to get through. So John's dad dies. John's 11 in a horrible harness accident.
Sex harness.
Which causes John to have to work, quote, in a store.
Oh,
yeah.
Big step down. Gross. Cash and harness checks all day long.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now you're just in a store.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to feed Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Got to feed Nancy. Got to feed the Nancy.
Got to feed the Nancy.
This also meant that John had to have a, and again, I'm quoting here, a common school education.
Ugh.
Must be so nice to live in Canada and just look down on us for our common school educations. Fuck you, Meg. When he was 16 years old, he took a job at a local tavern there in Lebanon.
Ohio?
Lebanon, Ohio.
Not
yes,
Lebanon. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still in Ohio. We haven't left yet. We're going to leave Lebanon soon. Okay. We're still there, though. He does this for a few years. And in 1845, when he's 19 years old, That's when he decides he's going to set off for the Queen City.
Ooh.
Which one is that? Believe Erin is in the chat, and she's Charlotte thinking
I
that
think
means
that's,
Stanton, Virginia.
Jordan. Oh. Jordan.
There are
19 right next to Saudi
cities.
Arabia.
Oh, the real Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Lots more tavern work in Saudi Arabia, from what I understand.
That's what I
lots
hear.
Of tavern work over there.
They love to get hosed in Saudi Arabia. He goes to Cincinnati. Now, Cincy's an interesting choice for John because they are currently experiencing repeated cholera epidemics.
John did not read the brochure very closely.
No market for sex harnesses there.
Mm-mm.
Not with
no.
all that
no,
cholera.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
This sex harness is great, but I have to keep cinching it down every time I lose 15 pounds. This is really weird.
Doesn't have enough holes in it. Hole puncher? I don't know. Mm-hmm. What an adjustable harness. So John's there, and he finds a job as a clerk at two different hotels at the same time.
Ooh, moonlighting.
So he's a man. He's like fully consumed by his work. By 18...
his work of being a clerk at a hotel. Yeah,
that, hey,
I get it, man. Dude, been there. If you're going to
do it,
throw yourself into it.
Mm. You've been a clerk at Blockbuster. Imagine how much worse it is if your customers have money. What's happening at your house?
Someone just fell.
Is it a ghost?
And something just fell.
Oh my god!
It's a ghost.
Totally fine. And here's the.
There goes the bathroom.
They must have fallen into
the toilet. Now.
And here they come.
Hi. Okay. By 1855, he had worked enough to save up enough money to purchase a quarter interest in Tremont House, which was a luxury hotel in Chicago, Illinois.
Ooh. Moving right on up.
Now, the Tremont has an interesting history. So it was built in 1933, about 20 years before John got involved. Built in 1933 at the northwest corner of Lake Street and Dearborn, which I'm pretty sure is a Wow Bow now.
Oh. Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
Ryan can confirm if it's still a Wow Bow. It definitely was a Wow Bow for a long time. I'm pretty sure this is a Wow Bow. But back then it was a hotel. The Tremont was a three-story hotel. And here's something important about it. This is a key fact.
Mm-hmm.
It was made of wood.
Oh, and what year is this again?
Well, this is 1933.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No,
yeah.
1833. That's 18. Wrong. This is 1833.
Okay.
Still not close enough to the
Great
Fire.
We'll fix it in post. It'll be fine. Yeah.
Thank you, Jeremy. Make it a little tick.
1833, downtown Chicago, solid wood hotel.
Solid wood. Yeah.
Awesome.
Now,
cool.
The Great Chicago Fire is 40 years away. About,
yeah.
Right? That was 1871.
So they know they have.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah. They're like, I don't want to be working here in 40 years because, as I understand it, shit's going to happen. But
I
for
think
now,
this is going to go bad.
Not
a okay. Anyway, so maybe wood. Next note. Oh, it burns to the ground in 1839.
Trendsetters.
Now, the owners are the two brothers named James and Ira Couch. They're pretty sad about this. But they're brothers, and they look deeply into each other's eyes and they clasp hands and they say, brother, we will rebuild.
Mm.
So that same year, they break ground on the second Tremont Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's on the southeast corner of Lake and Dearborn.
Oh,
it was northwest. Now it's southeast.
Because they followed the other one. It's that one's
<there's>, that land is ruined and full of burnt rubble.
I wouldn't even put a Wow Bow here.
But now it's on the southeast corner, and they make pretty fast work of this rebuilding. So the new Tremont, second Tremont, reopens in May of 1840. So just a few months later. On July 21st, 1841, that one burns to the ground.
Oh, they did wood again. They made that
It was
choice.
Wood again.
Okay,
it was wood
that's
again.
Fine. Yeah. At some point, man finds stone in this story. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Meg, you look concerned for a while there. Are you okay?
I'm listening.
Okay. All right. How's your email looking? Which I assume you're checking. So now, so second one burns to the ground. Now the Couch Brothers are like, God damn it. This fucking hotel. And they decide to rebuild one more time. Mm-hmm. And this time, fool me once, shame on you. Mm-hmm. Fool me twice, still shame on you. But fool mm-hmm. me three times, no, shame on me. And they do it upright. They go big, and they also use some stone.
Just not too much. You don't want to.
I would say you don't want to be too showy. Heavy.
Yeah.
No, no. But they do use some stone. And this third hotel is 5.5 stories tall, mm-hmm. and it's got a big footprint. And this one is state of the art. It's got the finest amenities of the day. It costs $75,000 to build and $260,000 to furnish, which in today's money is about $3 million to build.
Billion?
And more than ten. No, million.
Oh.
I know. It's not actually as impressive as you would expect it to be. Patrick, there is a ghost in your house.
I have children yelling at me. What, half a second.
Yeah. Are they dead children? For the listeners, that was a stern glance at that very funny joke from Patrick.
It's like literally one thing in my entire life. It's fine. It'll be fine. Anyway, I was just mm-hmm. going to say I have clearly under-furnished my house because this is not the ratio that I went with at all.
It's never too late to refurnish.
From the fucking Ming Dynasty or something? I don't think that's... I don't know if this is an option.
I'm wondering if I should stop and do a Canadian Old Spaghetti Factory trivia here.
Pizza.
That's better.
And that was my Canadian. So just before I start, something that people always say is that Canadians are polite. I recognize that that is a trope that is said around that Canadians are polite. And my friend Bobby from Florida, who had never been to Canada, came up to Winnipeg and this past summer with me as we did a show together in Winnipeg. And he remarked after this encounter at Starbucks, we went through the drive-thru and I had ordered on mobile, and the drive-thru lady, when we got to the front, I said, "Hi, I ordered a mobile for Megan." And she went, "Oh, one second." And then she went back and she brought it and she gave it out and she said, "So just so you know, when you order, you can say drive-thru instead of pickup. Thanks." And Bobby looks at me and he goes, "I get it. Canadians aren't polite. They're just really passive aggressive. But you figured it out."
This is the whitest story I've ever heard.
Okay. So, all right. Should we start? We'll start general. A spooky back room. There's a spooky mm-hmm. back room where servers who are in there late at night constantly feel watched mm-hmm. by a ghost who shuffles boxes back and forth, like in this back storage room.
So there's like in a helpful way?
Probably. I mean, I don't think the boxes are real either. I think they're his boxes.
Oh, ghost boxes.
They're ghost boxes. So it's a ghost with ghost boxes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's got a spooky back room, and there's a ghost who moves boxes.
That's it?
Yep.
Gosh, not a lot of location specifics there.
It used to be, what I can tell you is where the building used to be.
Okay. No Googling, Patrick.
It used to be a warehouse, which likely had a fair amount of foot traffic from workers, deliveries, and stock moving in and out.
Okay,
I have an idea
already. Okay, that's good. That is good.
People there. That does narrow it down quite a bit in Canada. Let's see.
All right. So should we both be talking about our thought process here?
I'm gonna go straight to the monkey. I'm not gonna.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Wait. Before you do, can we say the same one? Because I also want to go straight to the monkey.
Okay.
I just want to wait. Can I just clarify? We don't have monkeys in Canada. They're not
yet
natural to our. Okay.
Oh, no. We have lots in Chicago and Virginia and St. Louis. So
we give them adorable little jackets. They'll make it there eventually. Don't worry. With the reference earlier to the passive aggressive Starbucks host, I'm gonna have to go with Winnipeg.
Ooh. Clayton.
Oh, okay. I brought my Sherlock Holmes pipe just for this. I think it helps me to think about.
Like, is that your? That's your thinking pipe.
My thinking pipe. This is a pipe. This is a corncob pipe. So this is a slight. We're gonna derail for just a second here. This was made in Washington, Missouri, which is my hometown, and Washington, Missouri is the number one corncob pipe capital of the world. And if you go to Japan, as my friend Tom Long once did, you will find corncob pipes from rural Washington, Missouri there. And therefore, they are great at thinking because they're so worldly. Based on the idea of a warehouse and workers,
drop that?
In the middle of a show.
I just need a minute.
This is how the show works.
There is a place.
Uh-huh.
That you also happen to be from.
Yeah.
That is known worldwide for corn cob pipes. Like what Frosty the Snowman uses.
Yeah.
I know. Every week, Megan, I'm like, what are you doing on this podcast? Why are you not?
Why aren't you rich?
Yeah.
I'm
happy he found time to
schedule. I'm just trying to answer the question. And
I want to say Gastown. You can't just drop that.
I think she's trying to deflect you. I don't think it's Gastown, Clayton. I think she's trying to.
This is like what Peter Sagal does.
I don't think she's this excited about the pipes.
Okay. I would say Winnipeg.
Did you both just guess Winnipeg?
Oh, shit.
Well, based on your body language, yes.
Oh, no. I was just checking. I wanted to see what your.
Oh, like, yes. I'm all in.
I'm going Gastown.
You're going Gastown. You're going Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. It is Ottawa.
Oh.
What is Ottawa?
Oh, my God.
I know, but it's not on this list. It's not even on the list of the Old Spaghetti Factory Canada locations on the Old Spaghetti Factory Canada website. Oh, so.
Come on. Sam, is there... Maybe it was an old one. Did it close?
This game is going great so far, and I'm glad we interrupted the story to tell it.
Oh, shit.
I'm excited to find out that I'm the only one that doesn't have the list.
Apparently. Oh, my God.
I put it in the chat. And I announced that it was going in the chat.
Okay, well, fuck.
If it helps, I don't think either of us
would have
guessed Ottawa.
We're just going to call that one a tie. I think it's
you know what? That's the best thing to do, for sure.
Okay. Okay, let me redeem myself. I'll give you one more.
Hold on, do I gotta do that? Hold on.
Pizza.
I'm gonna throw a curveball at you, and I would like you to guess where there is a ghost where there should be, and there's actually not.
Can you explain the rule one more time?
Where there are no ghosts whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
So
there's
no ghosts in that place whatsoever, even though it feels like a place that should have ghosts.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with probably the highest cost of living area, because a ghost isn't gonna be able to afford anything in British Columbia. So I'm gonna go with Vancouver. I'm gonna go Vancouver on this one.
Ooh, which Vancouver?
I'm gonna go Whistler.
The one
Whistler.
In Canada. Ooh. I don't know what the fuck.
The one in Canada.
I'm going to say Vancouver and all Vancouver metropolitan areas.
Is Vancouver,
West Vancouver, East Vancouver.
Question. Is Vancouver in British Columbia?
Oh, my God.
Clayton.
Okay, I'm sorry. That question was for Patrick. Patrick, is Vancouver in British Columbia?
Of course it is. It's the one on the left, I think.
We literally just talked about this yesterday.
Okay, Clayton, what's your guess? Going back to
Gastown? I already said Whistler.
You guess Whistler? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have a guess, Patrick?
Vancouver.
Didn't I guess
Vancouver? Which isn't an option.
Vancouver, Canada. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you, the ones that are in Vancouver, there's Gastown, Abbotsford, depending on how you talk to, mm-hmm. New Westminster,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and Richmond. Those are all, like, Vancouver.
I'm gonna go with New Westminster.
Ooh. Okay.
I would just point out the website also has Whistler, Victoria, Langley, and Kelowna.
Oh, and there's Langley on there, too.
I'm never gonna
oh, yeah.
These.
Yeah.
Okay. This game is going great.
So, so I'll just say those are both excellent guesses. Both of those places do have ghosts, and they're very good. They're good ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Write those down, Patrick, for later. Them back
I was
up.
Bluffing. I don't have any paper.
I don't even know what paper is. But the one that does not have any ghosts is Winnipeg. Which,
God damn it!
I know.
Oh, I know. Could have just said that again.
Which should have ghosts because it's in like a really spooky old area of town called the.
And we know that, so we agree.
Which, absolutely.
So that's why we didn't guess which, it.
That's why I guessed Winnipeg last time. But
fun fact. And then
wait. Stop. Okay, say that again. Fun fact.
Wham!
I hate how much that was worth it. So if I say it again, will you do it again?
Yeah, sure will.
Every time.
Wham!
Is that not the sound effect? Was that just you?
Meg, listen, our listeners hate it when these go longer than an hour. We're already almost at an hour, and we have so many notes to go through.
So sorry. Okay. Basically, the fun fact about Winnipeg is it was built as Chicago North, and it was built like...
It's way north.
Yeah, so it was built to be like a Chicago, like our financial district in the middle. Mm-hmm. And if you know, in the 20s, the strike movement that happened all across mm-hmm. North America... It started mm-hmm. in Winnipeg. So they basically started unionizing.
That sounds like Chicago, yeah.
And
yeah.
And Winnipeg caused the Great Depression.
All right, that's a fun fact that was worth it.
Also, the namesake of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, okay.
His Christian name is Winnipeg the Pooh?
It was a her. She was a bear that she had been stolen from Winnipeg, right. Where she was from, and then they... moved her in a truck in England, and that's where A.A. Milne met with his grandson. Okay,
I'll tell you what, in America, Winnie the Pooh is a boy. we have to get back.
I'm
sorry, we'll come back to the game.
I'm so sorry.
We do have to move on.
I'm so sorry.
Where are we?
We're in line fucking three, I believe.
I think we are. So the third hotel is 5.5 stories tall, finest amenities, in modern day money. It's $3 million to build, $10 million to furnish. All the rooms have their own bathrooms and bathtubs, which is unheard of at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, that
was just the same thing. So it's really exciting for them, I guess.
And for some of us, it still is.
It's all pipes.
Goes to the same sewer. Oh, I don't be so precious about that. And this is what it looked like, everybody.
Very exciting.
Now, it's got an observatory on top.
My favorite part of this is the title of this photo is the extremely exciting third hotel. That's my favorite part of this. This is the third hotel.
And it makes sense.
We got pretty good.
It is exciting that they built a third hotel because no one is dumb enough to do that. And this building now is across from the Goodman Theater, which Ryan, you can weigh in if you want. Now there's a parking garage there. What else, Ryan? You know.
Do I? I don't know. There's I think there's a parking garage. Isn't there? There's also like a little fake mall kind of thing right in that general area.
Well, you can definitely take the Pedway through here.
Yeah. There's so, like some BS little fake mall. Yeah,
for those of you not familiar with Chicago, the Pedway is like an underground sidewalk, basically, that when it's really cold, which happens on occasion, you can get around the loop of Chicago with this underground walkway. And that is there as well. Anyway, so that's the mm-hmm. third hotel. And the fact that you need three hotels is pretty good. This is a big investment. Obviously, like a lot of money they're pouring into this hotel that already burned down twice. And so folks in Chicago start calling it Couch's Folly. Now, the new hotel opens its doors on September 29th, 1850.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're 5 years before our original friend John buys in.
To the sex harness so it opens business.
With the sex harness business. I don't want to get sued by his estate because they are pretty powerful.
They
so
still
I will just say,
fourth
I will
of a say parking harness. Garage. I don't want to get mad by them.
I will say that we don't know that it's not a sex harness business.
Great.
Meg, you may not be familiar with this, but Americans are famously litigious. So the hotel's a success, though, and it even starts attracting nice new residential homes to the neighborhood, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. And 3 years after it opens, the Couch Brothers are like, I think maybe we should hedge our bets on this. Like, the first two have burned down, like, and this one's going great. Maybe we should like sell it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should just like take the money and run. So they come up with a plan to not exactly sell it. They are going to lease the building and the furniture, but on a long-term lease. So it's a complicated thing, but essentially they're going to bring in investors.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, the furniture is worth 10 times what the building is for some reason. So it's not a bad idea to lease that part
of the furniture in that contract for sure. The men who signed on to buy it were named another pair of brothers named David and George Gage.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, you familiar with the Gage?
I am not.
You were not a poor when you lived in Chicago. Ryan, you are familiar with the Gage?
I am quite familiar with the Gage. Yeah, it's a delicious restaurant.
You and I and Mary had drinks there my last week at Columbia, I think, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. I think she bought too,
which was, hey, when you go to the Gage, say Mary's buying this.
She won't
be there, but it might help. Mm. Anyway, so that those brothers bought part of this. And as part of the deal, the Gages needed to put in a little more capital than they had. And so they reach out to John Drake over in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is how John acquires 1/4 ownership in the Tremont House Hotel.
Mm. Just the couches. That's all. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I just want the couches. Probably the most valuable asset in the whole thing. It's insane.
Worth $4 billion.
I have this theory about the future of the harness business, and it involves couches tangentially. But I need some test subjects. And that's how Naugahyde was invented. So I'm excited.
Interesting. Okay. So he buys it. And here's a fun fact.
Wham!
About the Tremont. In the 1850s, Chicago decided to make its streets taller by about 6 feet.
Mm-hmm. Most people were widening streets. Chicago, they thought the other direction. No.
If you're going to make money, it's up here. Mm-hmm. It's up here in your brain.
You got to squeeze the people.
Exactly. Nowhere for them to go but up.
And we will put them up. And so they decided to make the streets taller by an average, I think, of about 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a problem because you have a lot of stores and hotels and, I don't know, houses that are at current street level. Mm-hmm. And if you raise the street by 6 feet, you can't enter those places.
Oh, so
anymore.
They raised the... They...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, substantially.
How?
They also did this in Seattle, actually, which is closer to where you are. So if you go to Seattle, Meg, which I think is probably pretty easy for you to do, you can do an underground tour. They still, like, you can go under the streets of Seattle, and you can see the original buildings that are still down there, like, under the streets.
What?
They raised Seattle a whole like, flight, a whole, I don't know, story.
Yeah. I love that you're like, Megan, let me put this in Canadian terms. In Seattle?
Ryan, you have thoughts?
No, I have no thoughts, but I will say the chat has come up with, I think, a very interesting idea as it relates to all of this, which is perhaps the next T-shirt idea, which
wait,
would be,
Wait.
Yeah, right.
I am so thirsty for you.
That's great. We're going with some sort of a sex harness made out of spaghetti.
Okay, I'm out.
That's there seems to be some traction here for. For
hey, this. Is Luna still here? Because Luna, are you listening?
I believe
they've called him out.
I believe.
It.
Okay. Okay. Can I chime in? Old spaghetti whorehouse. Anybody?
Okay, it's more blunt than the other, and that's
everybody in there is a Nancy.
Yeah. come meet your Nancy at the old spaghetti whorehouse.
I'm a Nancy.
Luna, I hope you're taking notes, and I hope you're ready to
your artistic. The gears are already turning up here for Steven, I'm sure. He's like, no, I got the framing down. No, I got this. Uh-huh. It's fine. All right.
Perfect. All right, so where are we here? So, yeah, so they're raising the streets. Now, Patrick, you probably know what they did to the buildings then so that you could access them. Do you know this story? You must know this.
They tore them down. I have no idea.
Oh, my God. You lived in Chicago for how long?
I lived downtown 1 year, and the rest of the time I was drunk on the northwest side. So,
Did they put stilts? Did they give them stilts?
In a sense, they did raise all the buildings downtown. They raised them up.
But to what end? Like, I'm still wrapping up. Why?
So that you could get in the front. I'm sorry. So you can get in the front door.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand.
Asked and answered. So moving on.
It was so everyone could be closer to God, Megan. That was the issue. They weren't close enough to God. They need to be six feet closer to the Lord.
They did the math and they said, if we're 6 feet closer, then shall we be blessed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly. We've done a lot of sinning. But I think if we move it up 6 feet.
Oh, so they're Mormon. Okay.
Exactly. Absolutely. Okay.
No, so this is a good question. Why they...
They were supposed to do it every 10 years, but eventually they ran out of money.
So.
But it took 10 years to raise all these fucking skyscrapers up 6 feet. So.
Not doing it again.
Keep telling the story. I have so many questions that you can't possibly answer.
I know. We don't have time.
I'm going to look them up myself. But
no, and this is good because our next Ghost Plus podcast could be like questions from Meg. And then we can talk about this, and that's bonus content. So hold on to those.
Or
questions.
The second half of this episode. That would also be fine.
Or hour four of this episode. I don't remember actually why they raised that. I used to know. I think it had something to do with
flooding.
The flood, with the water, because Michigan's right there. And Ryan, if you see anyone in the chat who knows, this seems like a thing Jen Swanson would know for some reason. You can, you know, feel free to cut in. But anyway, it was a good reason. They're going to raise all the buildings. So they do that. And the Tremont was actually one of the largest to be raised up. And I guess this is kind of a fun fact, too.
Wham!
That project was overseen by a man named George Pullman.
Oh.
Who, of course, later was on to make Pullman sleeping cars for trains.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. What I've learned through the research of this story is there are four families in Chicago that have their names on everything.
The Pullmans, the Gages.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The Couches.
Uh-huh. Do you remember John's last name?
Sears Tower.
Yes. Oh, shit. Okay, wow.
Sex
yeah, John Sears Tower. John Sears Tower. Yeah.
John Sex Harris.
That's his middle name, Meg. Sorry. Oh. John Sex
Harris
Sears Tower.
Sorry, I'm still on Lebanon.
It's been a
it's
long time.
It's a whole
time.
Phenomenon. They literally have a Wikipedia article, Raising of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a big deal. I mean, as you can imagine, these were some really seriously big buildings that they raised up. Like 6 feet in some places, more in some places. So anyway, Meg, save this energy for our new Ghost Plus podcast. Please look. Okay. Good. Okay. So we have,
I don't know how Americans
I can't
say
stress
yes.
to you.
I assume it's a salute.
Yeah, we do
it's
a
that.
Salute.
It's that.
It's a Captain America thing. And I cannot stress how many more notes we have to go through. This is not this is
You should start paring this down a little bit. There's a lot going
I won't,
on here.
I won't. I spent so much time doing this. I won't do it. We may in post split this up into two episodes. Sally, I'm sorry. You must be so tired, but we have so much more to go.
Sally has expired. Sally is Sally's a pile now. Of dust in her living room right now. She is gone.
All right, that's it for this week. So, again, sorry for the sort of abrupt end, but I hope you're enjoying it, and come back again next week, and you'll get the other half of our Drake Hotel episode. I said it weird. It was like a space in between. It's just Drake Hotel episode.